Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, January the 11th. It is, of course, 1-1-1-1-1, if you look at your calendar. Yep, today is 1-1-1-1-1. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle, and a little farming and gardening and planting in there as well. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear like t-shirts, coffee mugs, keychains, wristbands for the kids, and of course the adults. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us right now in the live chicken chat room. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do to join us in the chat room right now is click on that Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. You'll see it there a flashing. Click on that. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative Blog Talk Radio screen name. Then you can come on into the chat room, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion and hobby of backyard poultry, show poultry, living a sustainable lifestyle, which does include gardening and farming. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by, of course, ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding Oyster Shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on 1-1-1-1-1. Of course, it is the second Tuesday of January. And it is now time to bring on my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, and author, from great young lady, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, welcome to the show.
You must be getting a little bit of cabin fever there, being snowed in and off in Atlanta or down there in Georgia. How are you doing today, Whisper?
I'm doing good. I want to warn everybody, I've had my half a cup of apple cider this morning, so look out.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's a manic, it's manic morning here, then. Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to my half a cup of coffee tomorrow. And if it's not tomorrow, it'll be Friday. But just half a cup a week, that's all I can do. I just don't trust myself with any more.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, we are still, well, I'm not. I went to the post office yesterday, and it was a little hairy, let me tell you. If you had two-wheel drive, I wouldn't have chanced it at all. And then in four-wheel drive, it was a creeper all the way to the post office and back. And, of course, the post office was closed. I was asking online, whatever happened to the mail must go through snow, through sleet, through wind, through rain, we will get you your mail. Well, just like the kids in America, we're raising a bunch of wimps. And no mail today, no mail yesterday. I just don't know what it is.
On.
And so I actually asked somebody about that because that was their, like, slogan for such a long time. And I was just more curious because I thought about that on the way back from the post office yesterday. Now, wait a minute. Whatever happened to through snow, through rain, through sleet, the mail must go through. We deliver for you,
up.
All those kind of things.
Yeah, they got more practical and realistic. I mean,
I think that's what it was.
Everybody
has
email now today anyway. We don't need the physical mail. We've got email to stay in touch, so it's not like you're out of communication.
Well, if I could cash a check through email, that would be great, but I'm waiting on some checks to come in, and I'm like, hello?
Oh.
So, no bills either, so that's the good part. No checks, no bills. It all evens out. But the due date, they don't care if you're snowed in or not. The due date for that bill
is still due.
They don't care. If it's 30 seconds late, then it's $35 or whatever it is. So, but no, on a serious note, I noticed on my Facebook page I'm friends with somebody whose husband is a postal carrier, and she was complaining a little bit that he had to go in and all of this mess and risk his life to deliver the mail. And I did ask that question on a nice note. You know, I was like, you know, whatever happened to this? And she actually kind of gave me a partially, I think, accurate answer that slogan was developed, she claims, by some, you know, bigwig upstairs in the postal service that doesn't actually have to get out in the elements. And so that was kind of created in an office somewhere, not actually putting the toe to the ground, if you will, and getting the mail out there. So she said it was pretty she was disappointed that her husband had to go to work. I appreciate them going to work, but don't want to see anybody to get hurt or have wrecks or cause life and limb because I need a check or a bill. So it's irrelevant. Life, you know, family comes first. So I compl- but I did. That's a neat question to ask because on the way back from the post office yesterday, I was thinking, now, wait a minute, I got here, but what about, you know, the mail, wind, snow, rain, sleet, storm, we will deliver. And yet they're closed. So just didn't know if that was a scam, a slogan that doesn't mean anything, or what the, or history, part of our Americana. So I just it was very interesting yesterday, and I'm learning a little bit each day about that through postal workers. So thank you very much for getting my mail to me, folks, that you do that on a regular basis. But anyway, we are still kind of snowed in. In fact, it was a little worse this morning than it was yesterday because, again, below freezing, all the slush turns to nothing but a sheet of ice. And Jen's still out of school today. We're kind of predicting probably tomorrow too, maybe Thursday, but it's iffy because the northern end of the county she works in, and then of course the subdivisions and the shady areas, and they're supposed to get down to 13 degrees on Thursday, not supposed to probably get over freezing tomorrow, Thursday or Friday. She may be out all week. I'm not really sure, but it's always nice to have my wife, Teacher Jen, in the chat room with us. Also heard that Jeanette Behringer was having a little issue up in North Carolina, through this ice and snowstorm, and she's without power, but she's going to try to be a trooper and join us today from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. So we're looking forward to that today. Tomorrow, let me get to that in a minute. So today, Jeanette Behringer with the Livestock Breeds Conservancy will be on today. Looking forward to that as always. And also today, being Tuesday, every Tuesday's Chicken Trivia Contest is brought to you by EggCartons.com. Visit them online at EggCartons.com and get all kinds of chicken supplies that meet your needs. Now, today's prize for Chicken Trivia, we are, because there's a correlation here, Pat, we're going to have you, if you don't mind, again, come up with today's chicken trivia question. And let me tell you why this is significant. Because today's prize is probably one of the best prizes we have ever had on this radio show. It is just a tremendous prize. We're very, very proud to offer it from eggcartons.com. The correct caller at the end of the show who has the correct answer to Pat Forman's question is going to win the most awesome prize we just about ever have offered on the show, and that is a copy of City Chicks, authored by Pat Forman. That is today's prize.
Oh, my.
And so it is just appropriate that, Pat, you come up with a trivia question to see who knows the answer, who's the right caller that will win this wonderful book chock full of wonderful information that you have compiled over your years of experience. So today's prize from eggcartons.com is yours truly, Pat Forman's book, City Chicks. And so I know that the phones will be ringing off the hook. And everybody's going to want to call in, whether they know the answer or not. So you know that's you worked hard on that book, and there's a lot of great information. So you may want to make that question today just extremely and unbearably hard for because they're going to have to learn.
You didn't want another chicken joke, huh?
Hey, it's your call. It's your book. It's your call, and you can choose which question you would like to offer towards the end of the show. So we have whatever you want to do. If you want to make it easy, hard, mediocre, in between, that will be your call. But a great prize today from eggcartons.com during our chicken trivia contest. Yes, Pat Forman's book, City Chicks, and what an awesome book it is. Now, I'm excited to say that tomorrow, Wednesday the 12th, we will not have, unfortunately, very sad to say, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor with First State Vet Supply. He is taking the month off. Let me tell you why, because we do need to focus our thoughts and prayers to him. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was involved in a car wreck, a very bad car wreck. It was snowy in his area, and he was en route somewhere taking it very carefully, and then next thing you know, a car comes over the center line and actually crashes into our friend Peter Brown head on. And so it's very, in fact, the insurance adjuster said, if you don't mind me asking, what were your injuries? Because I've seen people in an accident less damaged than this and be carried off in body bags, basically. So the issue there, he's very lucky to bottom line, be alive. And he is at home recovering with some, he had apparently a crushed, fractured sternum. and a diaphragm that controls breathing. I don't want to falsify or what, but I think he may have said some broken ribs and just, you know, just so, yeah, very, very lucky to be alive. So we talked last week, and he is taking the month off. He needs to recover. He needs to get his thoughts together and get his, you know, his composure and just not have pain when he breathes. Let alone, and be, you know, to come on the show and prepare. So we ask that you send lots of thoughts and prayers. And if you want to send him an email, that would be awesome too. A recovery email. I think that would be a great idea. As much as, you know, he comes on this radio show twice a month and shares us with just valuable, valuable information that helps us all, that wouldn't be a bad idea. If you want to go over to firststatevetsupply.com, just go over there to firststatevetsupply.com. In fact, you can do it during this radio show and say, hey, we're going to miss you tomorrow on the radio show. Heard about your accident. We hope you feel better. Sending prayers your way. That would be awesome during this radio show if you wanted to do that. Take a moment out of the chat room. firststatevetsupply.com and send them over an email. Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, a little good wiggle. Get well email. So, but tomorrow, and not that anybody could ever replace Peter Brown, that's for sure, but tomorrow, in place of his segment, we are going to have on the makers and inventors, developers of a very unique heater for our coops. Now, you're thinking, wait a minute, stop the presses. Chicken Whisperer is going to have a special show tomorrow with guests regarding heaters and chicken coops. Are you kidding me? What is going on with this? So, yeah, exactly, Pat. So let me explain all this to you. If you've listened to the show over the last couple of years, even before we had the radio show, my advice online at grit.com, MotherEarthNews.com, Farmer's Almanac, when we talk about winter weather and heated coops and things, then you know I'm not an advocate of that. But, you know, I started thinking, and yeah, I can be kind of harsh when it comes to heaters in the coops, because I don't want you to lose your chickens and have your chickens die and lose your expensive chicken coop and maybe your life too and lose your house because you think your chickens need to be 72 degrees. So I'm not picking on people. I have nothing against people who use heaters in coops. If you feel better at night because you have a heater in your coop, so be it. That's fine. I just want to get the educational message out that in most all circumstances, it is not needed. But for those of you who choose to, I think we also have a responsibility on the radio show to help you do it the right way and the most safe way. And so we're going to welcome some folks tomorrow. And there's another company out there I found a heater from, thanks to actually a follower and listener of the show, and it's called the Sweeter Heater, S-W-E-E-T-E-R, Heater, H-E-A-T-E-R. In fact, if you go to www.sweeterheater.com, then you'll see this heater. They're going to be on tomorrow and sharing all about how they got started, what gave them the thought, what they're used for, even the proper size heater and wattage heater for the size of your coop, the whole nine yards, the pros, the cons, all the nine yards. And you can go and take a look at that now. Maybe we can get that posted in the chat room, either Teacher Jen or Love for Poultry, sweeterheater.com. People can take a look at that, anywhere from $75 to $120 for anywhere from 32 watts to 150 watts. And they have a wall mount, they have an overhead mount, and they even have heaters that go over different types of lizard tanks. And so it's a very neat product. They'll be here tomorrow. So if you are one that actually wants to heat your coop, great. We're going to come on and feature a product that you may want to purchase or look into that may make it safer, may make the fire hazard chances of fire almost zero, if not zero. And they'll be on tomorrow to tell us about that. So for those of you who, take offense to my little harshness about heating your coop, now the show will be all for you. If you choose to heat your coop, me and Pat want you to do it responsibly and safely, and some of these products we'll feature here over the next 10 days or so may be a way to do that. So Sweeter Heater, the safe alternative, owners, creators, will be here tomorrow joining us and telling us about that product. How cool is that? Thursday, Back Home Magazine, publisher Richard Frudenberger will be here. Those are always great shows. Bring a pen and paper for sure. And then this Friday, we will have an awesome show for you, Fun Friday. If it looks like that Jen may not have school Friday, then we may try to get out of Dodge Thursday night and head down to the farm a little early. but we'll still try to have a show on a Friday for everybody based on our connection down there and what we can do on the road. So a great week for you this week. Really looking forward to it. I will tell you there will be no radio show this coming Monday, Martin Luther King Day, the 17th. We'll be out of town, and we may actually be on the road at that time, even though we can broadcast on the road, even driving up the road like we've done in the past. Enjoy your long weekend. No radio show this coming Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, for that day, but we will return on Tuesday the 18th. So that kind of gives you an idea about what shows we have coming up. Really excited about tomorrow's show and the Sweeter Heater we'll be talking about. So I knew that would throw some people off guard. Wait a minute. The Chicken Whisperer is talking about heating our coop. Today's question of the day at our Facebook page. We invite you to follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/The Chicken Whisperer. Question of the day. We try to post one about every day, every other day. Do you use pellets, crumbles, or mash, and why? And that question, of course, is brought to you by ManaPro products. 27 people have already sounded off. It appears, without doing any type of scientific observation, that pellets are winning right now as far as the majority of the people. And then, of course, crumbles and then mash. Looks like the number one reason why most people use pellets is because lack of waste. Jen and I both use pellets for all of our large fowl, and then we'll use the crumbles for our saramas and our silkies for our bantams. But we agree that in the past, even if they kind of scatter around the mash or the crumbles looking for that particular yummy piece that they want, it gets down into the shavings. They may just sit there and waste and rot and attract mice and rats and whatnot. So with pellets, even if they scatter a little bit around, they can still pick that individual pellet up and eat it. So that's our observation with using pellets. Lots of folks like Dragon in the chat room, crumbles because my girls are used to them. And so and she's got bannies as well. And so, but we're talking, and some other comments were that mine won't eat pellets, they only eat crumbles. And so you can get on their Facebook page and sound off on that. Do you have a preference, Pat, on pellets, crumbles, or mash?
Well, I do. Thanks for asking. In my adult birds, I use both the pellets. They have it available in a feeder all the time. Then that feeder is inside the coop, so I don't have to worry about the nighttime critters getting at it. And then every day I'll give them mash, usually mixed in with either something that I've sprouted or but I always make a meal out of it, meaning I take the mash and I add some liquid to it, and that makes it kind of like a cookie dough, so they can get their beaks around it a little more, and then they tend to waste less. But for baby chicks, I always feed the crumble. Because they're tiny little beaks, you know, they can't grasp much more than just a crumble or a powder, so they always get the little finer stuff. That's my preference.
And somebody mentioned also they had a crossbeak chicken or a scissor beak, depending on what you want to call it or categorize that, and they use, because they can't pick it up, the pellets, so they use a mash so they can kind of scoop the food up as well. We've done that with a crossbeak chick and chicken that we've had before as well. So thought that's an interesting question. We try to post these questions of the day, so all of our fans and followers are on Facebook, 7,281 of them, can refer to that and get ideas for what other people are doing. Because as you know, there's more than one right way to do something. I also was reading at communitychickens.com. I got a little email. They were featuring a blog over at communitychickens.com this morning. Got it via email, and it was an interesting email, and it was a little blog that they have up there about somebody who now has, I think they said they had 33 or 35 laying hens, and so they had to up their nesting boxes due to the fact that they now have 33 hens that were laying. And so they showed video and design of their nesting boxes that they built. Very, very innovative, very creative, and they did a really great job building them. And they built, I think it was 28 nesting boxes through this construction effort, 28 nesting boxes. And so I commented on that. I said, hey, you know, that's a great job, very, very creative, looks great, super. But then I put, don't be surprised if only three or five out of the 28 you just spent your hard-earned money. I think even the things they made them out were recycled. So, but I said, don't be surprised if only three or five of the 28 nesting boxes are actually or will be even used, because they will have their favorites. For example, we had 13 chickens in a particular coop that had six nesting boxes, and they only used two. 13 chickens, two nesting boxes, and the other three were just empty all the time. So we talked about that you know, really one nesting box for every three to five hens is more than ample, one nesting box per every three to five hens. And even if you have 28, only four or five, or three to four or five, may actually be used. Now, the other downfall to that is if you have too many, then the hens may start sleeping in the nesting boxes instead of on the roost, and then that's going to cause you more time as far as cleanup, because they'll start pooping in the nesting boxes. Then you'll have to get that poop out of the nesting boxes, and then of course if there's too many, they may choose to sleep in them instead of on the roost, instead of just laying in them. Then you'll have to spend time cleaning up that poop out of the nesting box, and you'll get more poop on eggs if one happens to use a nesting box that one was sleeping in for a while and they lay the egg, then you'll have poop on your egg. So just some things to think about with too many nesting boxes are overkill when it comes to nesting boxes. And they made nesting boxes out of wood. We've shared on this radio show before, even though all three coops that I have here in my backyard currently are made from wood, and we have only wood nesting boxes. But I do share this information regardless. It's not that you need to use these, but I myself have wood nesting boxes here. But many people prefer the plastic or the metal nesting boxes, because those wooden plywood nesting boxes sometimes in the crease, in the joints, will give a place for mites and lice to hide during the day if they're a nocturnal type of mite. But that's probably the most used nesting box now is the plywood, because it's inexpensive to build. It's very, very easy to mount and install, and so on. So we don't have anything against wooden nesting boxes. We're going to be giving some away on Wednesdays from Ware Manufacturing, and I use wooden nesting boxes. In fact, we're getting a couple of new coops in Ideal as we kind of restart our homestead down there, and there we will have wooden nesting boxes. But it's just something to think about as you look and see what kind of nesting boxes you're going to use in your coops. Happy or Hippie Chicken Owner in the chat room says their nesting boxes are plastic milk crates. I've seen that used quite a bit, and about the perfect size as well. So that's perfect. So there's all different things you can do. Somebody actually on that forum, Pat, said that they use old lawnmower bags. You know, a lawnmower with a little attachment bag on the side to catch all the grass shavings and the leaves. They were using old lawnmower bags for nesting boxes in their coop. So you can use just about anything. The chickens aren't. You could use a spare tire if you wanted to, and they'll lay in that sucker. So I was just sharing some information with them on what other folks are doing, what other folks prefer, and things to look out for when you're using those products. So very, very interesting there at communitychickens.com. If you're not familiar with that site, it is kind of put on by Mother Earth News and Grit Magazine, and lots of great folks across the country contribute to that, and you can go and lots of good information there to learn about keeping chickens. So I wanted to share that with you. So that's a lot of information we've shared already in the first 28 minutes of the radio show. And so what we're going to do is, do you have any chickens in the news, Pat, you want to share? Otherwise, if you do, great. We'd love to hear it. If not, I'm going to go to break and then bring on Jeanette Berenger with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy.
Well, about the only thing I've got in the news, which is very timely for today, given that Jeanette Berenger will be on, is yesterday just came my American Livestock Breeds Conservancy news, their January-February issue about so there's a bunch in their newsletter here about their programs and projects. It couldn't be more timely, because that's what Jeanette's going to be talking about, which is what's ahead for the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, and then also the importance of taking censuses and breed registries. So let's charge ahead, Whisper.
That sounds great. Well, very good. We'll do that. We'll go to commercial break. When we come back, we'll welcome Jeanette Berenger with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. We'll be back right after this short break from our sponsor.
When you need an incubator, think Brensie, the incubation specialist.
Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Of course, today is 1-1-1-1-1, How about that? Very cool. I think this won't happen for another 100 years, I guess, I saw on Facebook. So very neat there. And it is the second Tuesday of the month. So this is the first time in 2011, first time this year, that we're going to welcome back Jeanette Behringer with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Welcome back, Jeanette. Hope you had a great new year.
Oh, yeah. Are you able to hear me okay? This is through my
cell. I can hear you just...
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Welcome, Jeanette.
Sounds good to me, too.
Yeah, I was scrambling because we got rid of our landline at home, and as you mentioned earlier, I'm kind of icebound at home. Like, you could probably ice skate in my backyard right now. We had a glaze last night, and the snow turned into rain, and so it's pretty dangerous to venture out, so I'm kind of working from home today, and, I was experimenting on different ways to call you guys, but I'm glad this is working out.
I think there's an ISO across a lot of the South there, Jeanette. So I talked to Richard Frudenberger in Asheville, and they're also in disaster zone pretty much. They're pretty well shut down, so you're not alone.
Yeah, it's really funny being a New Englander. I have to laugh down here because everybody goes into a panic as soon as there's a little bit of a quarter of an inch puts everybody in a panic, but the thing that, that I keep having to remind myself is they just don't have the equipment to deal with it, and the most
right.
they can do is brine the roads and hope for the best, but luckily, the stuff doesn't stick around for very long, and it's supposed to be in the 40s later on this week, so I suspect it'll all be gone soon. I hope.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is what we found when we lived in North Carolina is that the drivers just were not experienced in ice. I mean, when I was growing up in Indiana, we would go to the parking lots when it was iced over, and we'd practice doing donuts and sort of making the car go out of control. That was just part of our driver's training, but I don't think you have the opportunity to do that down there very much as a standard kind of driving procedure. So,
no, not down here. But anyways,
yeah.
I'm worked out. And I'm just broadcasting from home.
Nice, very nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeanette. This week you were wanting to talk a little bit more about ALBC and what we do, and I really wanted to try and take the opportunity to talk to your listeners about how they can actually help with some of the conservation work with the chickens in particular. ALBC, we do a lot of things. You know, one of the hardest questions that I get is, well, what do you do at ALBC? And, to put it in short terms is really difficult because we do all kinds of things from working directly with the farmers to breed rescue to genetic research to, helping people become better breeders. And one thing that we're looking to work a lot on this coming year is censusing, because a lot of our work is very dependent on census numbers and having to deal with 150 different breeds on our conservation priority list. It's a lot of work to try and census them on an annual basis. And so we're hoping that some more of the breed clubs will be interested in maybe taking on an annual census of their breeds every year. And, who better to do that than the people that have the chickens? And, we've been trying to reach out to folks to see if they're willing to take it on. And we've had some great response with the rabbit breeders. And actually, we've got a couple of folks with the American Rabbit Breeders Association that are going to take on annual censuses for all of the rare breed rabbits, which is going to be fabulous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and ALBC has a number of stud books that we run for rare breeds, and so for those that we have stud books, the censusing is going to be fairly easy. But there's just so many of the chicken breeds out there that don't have breed clubs that could really use some folks that would be willing to take up the reins and, you know, try and collect some data on their breed, especially a lot of the Orientals. You know, we don't have any clear idea of how many are out there. And, you know, we like to use this information to be able to ascertain which ones are in trouble more than others. And, you know, sometimes a population can slip away so fast, you know, you don't realize it until it's in a critical point. So we're making an effort to try and, you know, be more proactive more often in censusing the breeds.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Jeanette, is there a, do you have a protocol for them or the forms that you can give to almost like any breed and say, here, club, here's the format we would like the data collected in? So are there guidelines that the ALBC puts out?
Not officially, but it's certainly something we can do. What we do have is a formatted Excel sheet that we'll give to folks that, you know, can be used. And the beautiful thing about that is, we can take the information in the Excel sheet and then plug it into a mapping program, and we can almost instantaneously get a map to see where all the animals are located, and, cool. and can actually share that information. We did that with the Buckeyes last year when we finished that census up, and it was really cool to be able to see where the populations were concentrated.
That is phenomenal, Jeanette. Is that a standalone program, or do you do it through Google Maps, or how does that work?
It's through Google Maps. It's that GeoBatch, and I can try and send you a link to that because I don't have it in front of me. But it's really cool if you have your information formatted. It takes the information directly from the Excel file and plugs it into the map, and it, you know, the conversion takes like, you know, all of 30 seconds, and you could put whatever information you want. Like with the breed censuses, we didn't put personal information of the owners into that. We only mm-hmm. put the city and state. We didn't put addresses. We didn't put I don't think we put names. We did put bloodlines of the birds, so that, you know, if somebody's looking for a brown bloodline Buckeye in Ohio, they could find it. And so it's a very useful tool, and I'm really excited to try and get that done for some of the other breeds as well.
Huh, and that's free then. I mean, you just go online and do it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great tool. We're actually using a similar tool. We're really excited because every year we publish our breeders directory, and for the first time we're actually going to have our breeders directory online, and there will be the ability to map the breeders. And so if you're looking for Ayrshire cattle in the southeast, you can, you know, just plug the criteria in and it pops up. And it's pretty exciting. We've been wanting to put the breeders directory online for quite a while, but, you know, it takes time in, you know, getting the website set up. But also the thing that's the most time-consuming is making sure that everybody's okay with their information being online. And so
Right. We
had to go through every single member and get their permission to be able to post that info, because you know, some organizations, they just go ahead and post without asking, and people can get ticked off at times. So, but Jennifer Kendall, our communications manager, has done a fabulous job working with our IT guy, and I think everybody's going to be really thrilled with the new the new online directory.
Yeah, and did you say it's available now, or it's coming up with soon with the map?
I think she's planning to launch in February, I believe. I know it's pretty close to being finished. They've been working on it since last summer, and, you know, I think she said February, but it's going to be pretty soon, definitely this year. And we'll still do another print version of the Breeders' Directory for at least this year, possibly next year, and then we're going to reassess doing that, because you know, the print version uses a lot of paper and is quite costly. But you know, a lot of our members still don't have computers, so it makes sense for us to print it. But yeah, it's going to be a pretty exciting year for us. You know, you said you just got the read about the annual conference. You know, we have an annual conference every year, and this year was particularly interesting because a lot of crazy things happened. You were there.
I was.
We had the launch of the new definition of heritage cattle, and some of your listeners may know of the launch of heritage chickens last year. And although it sounds like it's not that big a deal, what happens is people kind of abuse or mislead people by using the word heritage. And
mm-hmm.
so we decided to collect a number of people and organizations to come together and define, okay, what is heritage? And, you know, with the chickens, they had to be long-lived and naturally mating and can thrive outside. And, you know, there's a number of criteria that, you know, are really important to sustain within chickens so that they're not, you know, they're not misleading people by having maybe industrial versions of the heritage breeds. And we've also done it for turkeys. And this recent one was cattle, and it's, you know, similar to what we did for chickens. You know, with the cattle, they have to be a true genetic breed, which is the same for chickens. It's got to be, you know, an endangered breed, which is defined by the conservation priority list. It's got to have a long history in the U.S., and all these are similar for the chickens. And they must be purebred, and, you know, they should be able to thrive in, you know, in pasture, and their diet should be based on plant-based forages. You know, it's really kind of common sense stuff, but we thought it was really important to kind of lay out exactly what this means. And the really exciting thing is that, you know, USDA has actually been referring people to our definitions when they want to put heritage on their labels. So that's kind of exciting that we've you know, gotten recognition that people accept these definitions and, you know, they're important to people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely. I know there's, like you were saying, there's a big... it's kind of a big debate about what's heritage and what's not, and certainly to have some guidelines on that about preserving those lines is so important. Jeanette, too, I just want to say a little bit about the directory for that
uh-huh.
you folks put out. It's a book. I mean, don't think it's just a list of you know, people that have these different breeds of cattle and pigs and ducks and everything. I mean, literally, it's in fact, I've got mine right here. It's like 145 pages of an 8.5 by 11 book, and it's got all kinds of information in it besides just the who is raising what critters. So to have that available online and to be able to search it really easily, and especially even on the map, could be a huge boon for letting people find the cow or the pig or the breed of chicken that you'd like to have in your neighborhood instead of you know, sometimes going long distance. So I just wanted to add that in there because it fits right in with the heritage breed definitions, so that you really do know more what you're getting when you look at different animals.
Oh, sure. And we also, in addition to the definition for animals, we also define how it pertains to their products. And
yes.
That's for turkeys and chickens. And with the cattle, it was a little more challenging because it was not only meat, but it was dairy. And, you know, there were some bumps in the road to try and define it so that it fit appropriately because, you know, some milks are blended to be able to make cheeses and so they mm-hmm. they challenges along the way and the whole definition's actually on our website now. But at the conference with the launch of the definition and you could weigh in on, we had this cheese tasting, heritage cheese that was just phenomenal.
That was incredible. Oh my God. That, it was a meal in itself, and that was served as an appetizer.
I think we all waddled away from those tables, but it really reflected the great variety within the products that are available and showcased that, there's a cheese for everyone, and they had everything from, a mild cheddar-like cheese to that kick-butt kefir cheese that you can hear in the refrigerator and you could smell it for weeks, It's pretty, could burn the eyebrows off your eyes, but it's the kind of cheese my husband and I eat all the time, and it was a very nice cheese from Dexter Cattle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so ALBC does the annual conference, and never know what's going to happen at the conferences. Usually, we have some sort of a awards ceremony, and this year we awarded the Conservation Award to Debbie Hamilton, who is a Poitou breeder up in Vermont. And Poitou is an extremely endangered French donkey breed. And Debbie has, been, Debbie and her herd manager, Pat Hastings, have been responsible for a huge amount of work done with this breed. And they've made advances that are so significant that the French have actually invited them to come to France to teach them the techniques they've been using to breed the Poitous. So the work that's being done here in the U.S. has had some great ripple effects in Europe and really exciting stuff. And so we did that, and then...
Now, a large part of that, too, Jeanette, wasn't it that they had pioneered the sperm preservation? And that was one of the first times that sperm has been preserved to the Poitou?
Yeah, and used successfully in AI. That was a technique that they really pioneered, and they've since gone back. I believe they've been back to France several times to teach them the techniques. But it was no easy feat, and they worked for years to perfect it, and it's really been a boon to the breed.
Here it is. It says they've produced over 30 animals, the Poitou donkey, with the frozen sperm, and it has facilitated the international exchange of genetic stocks within the breed. So to be able to do that is such a huge advantage to the conservation efforts, because you don't have to have local breeders, of course. You can expand your genetic pool internationally very easily. So that's a huge leap forward for the Poitous.
Oh, sure, considering there's only a few hundred on Earth, 30 is a big chunk of animals.
Yeah. It said there's only 5 breeders in the U.S. Of the Poitou, so that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And then the other really neat thing that happened at the conference was the challenge that came up. ALBC, like profits, has been kind of struggling this past year with the economy, and while at the conference, Some anonymous donor made a $50,000 challenge to ALBC and said that he would match, or he or she would match up to $50,000 if we could get funds to support ALBC. And the thing that just stuns me and makes me feel so good about working for the organization is within 36 hours, the people at that conference came up with $50,000 to match it. And so,
That's right.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. The match was made. I didn't he announce it at like lunchtime and on the first day, and I think by the closing of the second day, we had had the matching 50,000, and there were not thousands of people at that conference. This was only, you know, maybe 150 people, so that was even more remarkable. And you know, it was great. I mean, it was a real pivotal moment to see people's dedication to the organization, and pretty exciting.
It was so emotional too, Jeanette. I mean, yeah, within 36 hours, like you said, at the end of one dinner, they announced, hey, there's this anonymous grant, a donation that will be given, $50,000, a huge amount to the ALBC, if it's matched by the end of the month. Or within 30 days. I mean, they'd give them 30 days to raise a matching amount. And so all through the rest of the conference, then, there was a buzzing of, one, who did it? Who did the match? They still don't know today. They just received a certified check, but they don't know who it came from. And then at the last dinner, at the last minute, pretty much, the staff of the ALBC reached into their pockets. Who was it? Annika pulled out a $100 bill. And she said, I believe so much in the ALBC and my work and the job of it. So she donated a pretty big bill, and then that sort of set the tone for others. They went, people were going around with hats collecting people to dig deep and pull in their pockets at that last dinner. So it was with sweaty palms then that Charlie announced, Charlie Bessette, the director down there, announced that they had made the match before the end of the conference, or right at the end of the conference. And, I mean, there were tears in people's eyes. It was so moving to think that there was such dedication and such giving that came from that last evening and the whole conference. So it set a wonderful tone for the beginning of this year, and certainly the beach conservation. So I know I was kind of tearful as that was announced, and Charlie was saying thanks to the staff and everyone. So I wasn't sure where you were, Jeanette, but how did you feel when that announcement was made?
Well, I was pretty choked up about it. And, you know, it's hard to put into words how proud you feel about an organization, and I've always followed my own personal rule is that I only work with organizations that I feel good about and that I feel has purpose and can make a difference. And coming into this organization, I couldn't ask for working with a better crew of people and a better mission. So, you know, we've got a busy year ahead of us. We're having with that money that we got at the conference, we can now afford to hire another project manager this year. And so we're going to be having a new project manager starting hopefully in February. And we also be hiring a new program director. And some of you may have heard our longtime director, Margie Bender, just decided to retire and to be a stay-at-home mom for a while. And just terribly disappointed to lose her, but, you know, she's doing something that's important for her, and she'll always be a resource for us. But, you know, we're going to be searching for the new programs director after the manager is hired. And as I said, we're taking on a big census push, and, you know, with the Breeders Directory getting online, that's going to be a big deal for us. And I'm also hoping that we're going to be able to start publishing all our stud books online, too. So for any of the breeds that ALBC manages, you'll be able to search the stud book online so that you can, you know, verify if an animal is registered. And, you know, we'll have to be careful about owners' personal information, but you can certainly search a registry to, you know, make sure that the animal's in there and you could see their blood. This is important for, like, some of our, the Marsh Tacky breed in particular. There's a lot of folks coming out of the woodwork saying they have Marsh Tackies, and the only way at this point to prove if they are or not is if they're registered. And so it's going to be a real boon for that breed to be able to have those online. And the same thing with the Santa Cruz horses, too. And so that's a new thing that's happening this year. And, you know, we're continuing work on our Mass Breeders Initiative. We are trying to document all of the knowledge and the minds of longtime master breeders for the different species of animals that we work with, and then kind of translate that into layman's terms that people can use to help improve their own breeding stock and have more productive animals without veering from breed standards. And it's pretty exciting. I've been really enjoying these different farms and talking with these folks and trying to really understand what they're seeing in those animals. And we've finished that up for turkeys. That's published on our website now. And chickens, and we're working right now on rabbits and waterfowl and hogs are the next three species that we're working on. And, you know, it's just like boatloads of work to do.
You'll never be bored, will you, Jeanette? Not at all. Not you or any of the staff. Yeah. Listen, Jeanette, we want to take a short break here to honor our sponsors. So when we come back, we can just pick it up and finish off talking about the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy and the projects that are coming up for 2011. We've been talking with Jeanette Barringer from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on 1-1-1-1-1. It is the second Tuesday of January, January 11th, 2011. Our guest today, of course, is Jeanette Behringer with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. They are on the second Tuesday of every month, and we look forward to them being here throughout 2011 and bringing us lots of great, just invaluable information and great resources if you're looking to add to your flock this coming spring or really any time during the year, especially if you're interested in heritage breeds. So looking forward to that. Jeanette and Pat, we are back live, and we can continue until about 10 more minutes, about 1:15, and then we'll switch over to the eggcartons.com chicken trivia contest that we have today, and where we're giving away one of the best prizes ever, a copy of City Chicks, authored by Pat Forman. So we can continue with the ALBC and Jeanette Behringer. Pat?
Yeah. Hey, Jeanette. Jeanette, I've got a really interesting letter here that just came. It's dated November 16th, 2010. It's from Charlie Bassett, the executive director. And in reading this letter, it's about success stories that the ALBC had experienced during 2010. And I was thinking, if it's all right with you, I would just read one of them because it sort of focuses on some of the work you're doing as well as what's ahead. And this is the one from Deborah Underwood Brown. Would that be all right? Yeah. Well, these success stories, they're five or six of them listed here, but with Deborah, she particularly focuses on the poultry. In fact, I've met her a long, long time ago. I remember meeting her. She's from High Ground Farm, and Deborah owns a pristine pasture. She owns Pristine Pasture and Woodland Farm in rural North Carolina. She attended several of the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy chicken workshops, and you might just say a little bit about those that will be coming up at the end of this year in 2011, Jeanette. But she attended the chicken workshops, and they helped her hone her husbandry and selection skills. And using these skills, she was able to develop a quality laying flock of over 85 Java chickens. And, of course, Javas are on the rare breed list, a critical breed, I believe. And she also used the ALBC's chicken assessment for improving productivity. And this is really, really something I want to learn more about, too. It's the chicken assessment for improving productivity, and that's part of the Master Breeder Project. And so she's expanded her flocks using these techniques. And then she joined forces with the ALBC and is working as an active breeder now in the Java Chicken Recovery Project. So she has the goal of breeding the Java chickens back to the historic productivity level. And what's interesting, I had a nice conversation with Frank Reese. He was saying that the heritage chickens were really productive. I mean, they lost some of the productivity because of the more just selecting for show, but he's adamant about getting the heritage breeds and the definition of the heritage breeds and having them back to be productive meat and egg birds. So that's my comments in there. So Deborah sells eggs and rare breed art to the local Whole Foods markets, and she's helping to create a sustainable market for the threatened Java breed. The guiding materials that Deborah has used to create her own success were the result of ALBC projects and funded and approved and supported by you, our donors. So that's just one of a bunch of stories in this letter. What do you think about that, Jeanette?
Deb's been great, and you know, it's been really exciting because I knew her when she was first just getting started in chickens, and it's really very pleasing to see someone be able to take it from the very beginning and be able to become a really proficient breeder. And you know, she's really starting to turn things on her flock. Her promotion of the breed through Whole Foods has been fabulous. Whole Foods market her Java eggs in their produce department. It's really amazing. Like, if her eggs are not there, the customers will actually call her up asking when they're going to come. And she had one lady in particular that buys the Java eggs only for her young children to eat. And she struggles to keep her husband from eating the Java eggs. And they had run out of the eggs at the supermarket, and the lady called Deborah in a panic that there were no eggs there for her kids. And so Deb was able to tell her when she was going to be there. But Whole Foods has been a great partner for her because they've allowed her to market some of her artwork that focuses on Javas, and so she's got like note cards and paintings and things like that that are all Java related, and then she tells a story about the Javas, and so it's not just selling eggs, it's really expanded to incorporate other things that help her to make ends meet, because, you know, being profitable with heritage chickens can be a bit of a challenge because they do take a little longer to grow out. And so where the real profitability comes in with many of these breeds is going to be through not only egg sales but breeding stock and through, you know, the value-added stuff like Deb's doing. And she's what I like about her is she's really created a model to show that, these birds have a lot to offer beyond just their meat and eggs. And it's helped her along quite a bit, because otherwise without the other things, it would be much harder to make a profit with them. So she's a really good example. And she's been very generous in donating hatching eggs to the local community college. And I'm working with the in their Java flock to do production selection and have a breeding flock that could then allow for a higher quality breeding stock to be getting out into the farming community. And the other thing that's kind of neat with the community college is they have a natural chef school there, and they're using the culls from the Javas to teach the students how to cook heritage chicken.
So, nice. Well, Jeanette, tell us a little bit about the ALBC's Master Breeder Project for chickens.
Well, the Master Breeder Project, as I touched upon earlier, was that we're trying to take a lot of the traditional knowledge that's out there but perhaps is out of publication, or it's in the heads of these folks that have been breeding chickens for many, many years but's never gotten on paper. And so we're really trying to create materials from these resources for people to be able to use and in turn be able to make their birds more productive and more like they were historically. As you said earlier, some of these birds were highly productive, but, you know, some of the birds that are available today maybe aren't quite up to snuff. They've got the genetics to get there, but people have kind of forgotten how to breed their animals for these qualities. And so it's amazing how with just a little bit of education and, you know, maybe attending one hands-on workshop, people take an entirely different approach to their chickens. And, you know, within several generations, you can make some huge advances on the quality of your stock with just following these really simple techniques and really paying attention to what you're breeding. So
yeah, and that might be a good topic for a show coming up. Maybe you could get one of the breeders, Frank Reese or someone, to come on and talk about that. Jeanette, there's a question here that also could be a whole show topic, but I'm just going to go ahead and share it. It's from the chat room. It's are today's layer feeds, the feed formulations that are for modern layers, are they the ideal combination of nutrients for heritage breeds? For example, for the barred rocks and for optimal meat and egg production. Of course, we talked about that a little bit more, about how they might be a little low in protein for the heritage breeds, but we've only got just about, 60 seconds or so. Could you comment on that just real briefly?
Well, as far as the layer ration, that's still unclear, although these heritage breeds They should be out foraging to supplement that protein that they need. The biggest difference is in the grower ration, and the grower rations that are out there today are completely inappropriate for heritage chickens. And the key is to have at least 28% protein for the first 8 weeks of life to ensure that your heritage chicken is going to grow to its potential. You have less of your bird's really not going to grow out to its full potential. And, you know, there may be exceptions, but especially with, like, dual purpose or the meat birds, your birds will never quite grow out as well as they can. And so that would be the strongest point that I'd like to get across. After 8 weeks,
well, that's huge, because most rations that you have for chicks, they're only like 20-22%, and you almost have to go to a game bird ration as well as supplement it with even additional protein to get up to that 28%.
Yeah, that's what I use. I use a game bird grower, and I've got the 28-plus percent protein in that, and my birds grow out fabulous in that. After 8 weeks, you can start backing off and go down to like 20, 22, and then the grower ration's fine. But that first 8 weeks, you miss that window, you've blown it.
Absolutely. Okay, well, that's really important information, and we can cover that. We'll keep hitting on that as we go along, because just about all the commercial rations from they just don't have that enough protein. So if you're raising heritage breeds, it's like Jeanette says, it's pretty important. Okay, well, we've been talking with Jeanette Barringer. Jeanette is the research and technical program manager for the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. And Jeanette, thank you so much for coming on. Whisper, do you have any final questions or comments?
Well, as always, go ahead, Jeanette.
No, I would say no, I'm set.
Very good. Yes, and thank you very much for joining us. And I know you're without electricity and kind of hunkered down up there in North Carolina. We haven't, knock on wood, lost electricity up to this point, thank goodness. So still toasty warm and can cook what's left in the cupboard. But we'll be thinking about you, and hopefully you can get dug out of the ice cave there here shortly. And we thank you very much, and we're looking for a whole long new year with Jeanette and the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. So thank you very much again, Jeanette, for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you, Jeanette.
All righty. We're going to begin that it is now time for the Tuesday EggCartons.com Chicken Trivia Contest. We're going to have Pat issue the official Chicken Trivia Contest question. Then we're going to go to commercial break while people call in if they think they know the answer. And we're going to take caller number 9 today. Caller number 9 at 347-637-3237. That's caller number 9. 347-637-3237. If you're caller number 9 and don't have the right answer, we'll go to caller number 10, and so on and so on. And today's prize is the amazing book, City Chicks, from Pat Forman. You will win a brand new copy from eggcartons.com. So the question is, Pat?
Okay. Well, the question is, Whisper, you're going to like this one. The question is, City Chicks introduces the Chicken Have More plan into the whole scope of sort of our cultural consciousness. The Chicken Have More plan, and that's all about you employing chickens, not just using them for eggs and meat, but also employing them in your gardens to have more of a lot of things. So the City Chicks introduced the Have More plan. What book written by the Robinsons was the inspiration for the Chicken Have More plan? What book written by the Robinsons was the inspiration for the Chicken Have More plan?
And I have a follow-up bonus question.
Okay.
The follow-up bonus question is, there is a trivia question listed in City Chicks that we've asked on this radio show that was missing a digit, which makes it
wrong. Oh,
you're
brutal.
Do you remember
that
one, Pat?
Cruel. That is cruel. That's very cruel.
So if yes, that'll be the. I'll never forget that. That's great.
Okay.
That'll be a bonus question. So there you have it. The question. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be back right after this with caller number 9, and hopefully they'll have the right answer. Stay with us, folks. Good luck.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bitbird Auctions.
BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chick. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today.
Whisper, that sounded like a rare donkey to me.
It could have been. We may have to look that up in the in one of ALBC's stud books. I'm not sure. We may have to. Oh, my goodness gracious. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to have the folks joining us tomorrow, of course, believe it or not, from Sweeter Heater, a possible alternative, safe alternative, I might add, to if you choose to heat your coops in the wintertime. And so we'll be welcoming them tomorrow. Should be a great show, and I'm anxious to hear all about the safe alternative that they have at the Sweeter Heater. And then, of course, on Thursday, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, will be joining us, first time in 2011. Make sure you bring pen and paper there. We'll announce the subject for that show during tomorrow's show, and then another great episode of Fun Friday this coming Friday. And then I think Jen and I will be heading to the farm this weekend, but next weekend we'll be heading up to St. Louis. They're having a ManaPro sales, national sales meeting up there. I'll be presenting, and in fact, on Sunday night, after we fly in, they're going to have an event called Chicken Wings with the Chicken Whisperer. How cool is that? So I'm looking forward to that event. That should be a lot of fun. That really should be a lot of fun. All righty, let me go ahead and get over to the we said we'd take caller number 9, and then we also said that, Pat, we will have you, we'll have you, if you would, repeat the question for everyone.
Okay, sure. The question was that the book City Chicks introduces the Chicken Have More Plan. It's even in the marquee behind that uptown-looking chicken. It goes, the Hen Have More Plan. What book was the inspiration for the Chicken Have More Plan? It was written who wrote the book? And what was the book? Was the inspiration for the Chicken Have More Plan? So, do you have a caller in there, Whisper?
We surely do, and we're going to go to the phone lines. That is the question. Caller number 9. We'll go to the phone lines right now. Caller calling in from area code 229. Area code 229, you're live on the air with Andy and Pat. If you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hi, my name is Kevin, and I'm calling from Bakersfield.
Hey, and Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good because I think I got the answer right.
Okay, what's the answer there, Kevin?
I believe the title of the book is They Have More Plan, A Little Land, A Lot of Losing, and it's written by Anna Carolyn Robinson.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
It was written over 60 years
very
ago.
Cool.
Oh, well, I'm so happy. I had to search for that one, but I got it. Woo!
I love it. Congratulations, Kevin. I still actually have your shipping address out there in my Facebook page from the last one, and so we'll be sending those out to you very, very shortly from eggcartons.com, and we appreciate your persistence and continuing to listen to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, as always, out there in California. If you listen to the show at any length of time, you'll know we have listeners all over the country. In fact, all over the world, we've had people call in from other countries as well, and we know that they listen to the show. So thank you very much. Whether you listen live, whether you're a guest, whether you're a regular listener, or you listen to the archive on iTunes, podcast.com, zoom.com, or, of course, on blogtalkradio.com, we appreciate you listening live. And congratulations to Kevin out in California. You've won a copy of City Chicks, written by my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, and that is brought to you by Today's Chicken Trivia, brought to you by eggcartons.com. All righty, well, that's going to wrap up another great show of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We had a great time in the chat room. Thank you for all the guests that tuned in today in the chat room. Remember, if you register with Blog Talk Radio, you'll get your own unique and creative screen name. Then you can participate in the chat as well instead of just watching everything go by. And we hope to see you tomorrow, Wednesday, and right here at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Pat, take it away.
Okay. Well, we certainly learned a lot today. We had Jeanette Barringer as our special guest. She's from the American Livestock Breed Conservancy, and she is the Research and Technical Program Manager. So thank you so much, for Jeanette, for coming on and talking to us about the ALBC programs and the registries and the importance of breed census. Gratitude to Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, for bringing us all together. Andy, where would we be without you? We would be facing all these storms alone in the cold by the fireplace without the Chicken Whisperer talk show coming in to keep us all entertained. Appreciation to our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking along. Where would we be also without you? And thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and the video services. Blessings to all. We love you all so much, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.